Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Sean, and today I want to talk about what went down at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl party. This was an event to celebrate their recent Super Bowl win, the two-peat for the Kansas City Chiefs, the third ring overall for quarterback Patrick Mahomes and coach Andy Reid. And it was disrupted when all of a sudden a youth dispute, according to the media, broke out, and these youths that were having a dispute ended up wounding about 28 people and killing a known member of the community who was a disc jockey at a radio station, volunteer DJ at multiple different events. But what's more interesting than the event itself is the coverage of the event, or the lack of coverage of the event, after we found out some information about these teens, about this youth event, youth dispute, because it's quite telling the way that our society functions when members of a certain identity group are the perpetrators behind the shooting, because then all of a sudden the media doesn't really care all that much. But before we get into that, I want to thank everybody who signed up over at actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
And thank you to the podcast listeners, Spotify, Apple, and Google's podcasting platform.
Look, we all think our dads are heroes, but I don't know. If you ask Alyssa Marsh Contreras, she has even extra reason to believe her dad is a hero, because Paul Contreras ran towards the gunfire in Kansas City today and tackled the alleged gunman right there on your screen. Watch it happen. That's Paul taking an alleged gunman down while everyone else is running for the hills and trying to get away and save their lives.
So as I said in the open, Super Bowl parade, there's a shooting, a dispute between youths, apparently. Now, in this particular situation, we have some genuine heroes, by the way, average everyday people who decided to pursue and tackle one of the suspected shooters in this particular incident. And you could see, based on the video, that what we're dealing with is a young black male perpetrator, and what this looks like in reality is gang violence. And youth dispute is the softer language for that particular situation that the mainstream media wants to use in order to downplay this as much as humanly possible. They'll call it a mass shooting and they'll say, oh my God, America is being destroyed by these mass shootings and all that. But when it comes to identifying the perpetrator, as is normal with mass shootings, they seem unusually inept in doing so. And this is despite the fact that these two particular shooters, or two people that were arrested of the three, appear to be 17 years old, the ones facing charges for firing the guns in this particular situation. And we've seen much younger shooters be named and shamed by the public. I mean, we just did a prosecution of the parents of a school shooter in Michigan, and that kid, I believe, was 15, maybe even 14 at the time that he committed the crime, and his name is out there and in public and available. But in this particular instance, even though we have a lot of people wounded, we have a woman that is a part of the community that was, in fact, killed in this situation. You have a bunch of witnesses. Literally a million people were out there, and there were people who assisted in taking this person down in like a group, average everyday civilians who did the right thing. It just seems odd that all of a sudden we're not getting any descriptors of this suspect. And by the way, credit where credit is due to Ann Coulter for calling this out on Real Time with Bill Maher the day of.
I mean, we don't know who did this shooting, by the way, the Super Bowl shooting.
We have some idea.
What?
If it were a white man shooting, we'd know.
Well, we don't know. But
how we know it's not a white man. I can tell you that much.
Do you think they're repressing that reporting?
They wouldn't tell us about the transgender woman that shot up the Christian school for what, like a year? Oh, San Bernardino out here. Remember the crazy terrorist Muslims? That's when I first noticed. They're not telling us who it is. It's not a white male. The longer they go without telling you, it's not a white male.
Okay, well, for right now, as of Friday night, February 16th,
we don't
officially know. Okay, you know, you have special powers.
But now, by the way, credit where credit is due to Ann Coulter in that situation, because she called it to a T. She was 100% right. The reason we weren't hearing about the identities of these particular shooters, we just got vague things like teens, youth dispute, and all that, is because they were black males. And by the way, even if the media didn't want to give the description of the shooters, one of the things that I notice about these particular segments is that they weren't even showing the videos of the heroic people who tackled one of these black male shooters and held him until the police come. They tackled somebody who was armed with multiple firearms, held him down because they believed it was the right thing to do, and nobody in the mainstream media wants to show that video because you might get an inkling of who's actually behind these particular shootings. Like, their images were out there and public and available, but the mainstream media chose not to do it. And the reason why is because nothing is less interesting to the mainstream media than black on black crime. So in this particular instance, we hear about the Kansas City Chiefs mass shooting, but we never get any look at the shooter, a la the same thing that happened in Nashville when the manifesto of that particular shooter was suppressed by the media until ultimately it ended up being leaked to Steven Crowder. So give Crowder credit where credit is due. I've been incredibly critical of him in the past when he's wrong and when he's not telling the truth. But in this particular instance, he did a good job. Although his logo is a little bit noticeable on these pieces of paper. I'm just saying. Now, if you don't believe me that the mainstream media is not interested and actually goes out of their way to ignore black on black crime in the United States of America, I'm going to prove that to you in just a little bit. But I want you to see this very awkward interaction where one of the people who was a witness of this particular situation seems to have adopted the mainstream media worldview that it's evil, white, and racist to describe a criminal who committed a crime that resulted in the wounding of 28 people and the killing of one of those people, because I think it's quite fascinating that they had to press this hard to get a description out of an individual who clearly and obviously was trying to avoid doing so.
What did he look like? Can you give me any sort of description? Would you be able to ID him if you needed to?
Oh, yeah, I think I would be able to. He did look fairly young, I would say, upper teens maybe. But yeah, he had on what looked like a worker's jacket, you know, just like a gold jacket along with some white, whether it's a shirt or hoodie, along with what looked like to be sweats.
And was he black, white, Hispanic? What could you tell?
He was African-American male.
Now, while that was incredibly painful, there's actually a clip of one of the people who tackled the suspect, held him there until the police got there, where he claims that he never saw the guy that he was physically on top of stripping the firearms away from during the heat of this situation, to show you how absurd things have actually gotten to the point where even the citizens are kind of in denial of this particular situation.
Did you see anybody else that he was running with, and did you get a look at anybody else who you think were also gunmen?
Yes, the first man we saw running, he was in an all-black jumpsuit, where we later found out as we left the scene and are walking over the bridge, trying to walk on the sidewalk, we were forced to jump over the barricade to continue walking over the bridge on the street. And yes, he was in an all-black jumpsuit, the first offender they caught, and he was sitting down handcuffed on the bridge, which I think forced the second offender to run back towards the crowd.
But one of the things that I find interesting is the fact that the media would be ignoring the situation completely, but for the fact that it happened at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl party. And initially, they thought maybe it was an evil white racist mass shooter or some kind of white guy mass shooter with a political motivation. But when they found out it was black people, they just dropped it and they're trying to remove it from the headlines. And the reason I know this is because this kind of thing happens all the time in Kansas City, Missouri. You see, last year, Kansas City, Missouri set an all-time record for the number of homicides in the city at 182. That was 12 more than the homicides in the previous year, which were 170, for those of you who aren't good at math, which is in and around third all-time in terms of homicides. And it broke the all-time record of homicides in 2020, the year of George Floyd, the Black Lives Matter riots, of 179. So right now, Kansas City is going through it. Kansas City is an absolute disaster. It's one of the more dangerous places in the United States of America, and this is overwhelmingly, disproportionately, young black men, just like the people behind this shooting, committing...
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The crimes and being victimized by these homicides. And there are a number of reasons why there is a significant spike in homicides in Kansas City, Missouri in particular, and a large part of that is due to the fact that they have incompetent, absurdly stupid, and asinine leadership. Because based on those same very years that I told you about, where we saw almost 3 records in the span of 4 years in terms of homicide in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, we had the mayor release a statement in response to this particular data, and that statement, it's almost chef's kiss level of stupid. Let me read it for you so you can understand it. Mayor Quentin Lucas said Wednesday on Twitter that some crime trends have gone in the right direction, as non-fatal shootings are down this year compared to last, while others, like homicides, have reached new highs. We are working collaboratively to build a safer city in 2024. Yeah, that was actually a thing that was said by the mayor in response to him presiding over an all-time high in homicides in his city. A lot of them are gun homicides. A lot of them are gang-related homicides. They skew disproportionately younger, under 20, high upper teens, and by the way, specifically black males. And he said, well, the non-fatal shootings are down because the people doing the shootings are killing the people they intend to kill, or making sure that they kill the person that they hit with the bullet. So in that way, non-fatal shootings are down. So we should celebrate that because, you know, obviously look at all these non-fatal shootings. Don't look at the fatal shootings on the other side of this, because why would we even talk about that? What an absolute idiot. What an absolute buffoon. But then again, that is what you are to expect from these Black Lives Matter politicians, from these woke politicians. And by the way, I've been saying on this channel repeatedly that removing these woke politicians would lead to positive results. And maybe people disagreed with that. Maybe people didn't understand that. But guess what? In this very same year that Kansas City, Missouri hit an all-time high in terms of homicides, we saw a break in the fever in terms of homicides in the city of St. Louis. Now, don't get me wrong, their homicide rate is still extraordinarily high, but it dropped from 200 to 158 year over year. It's one of the largest declines in homicide in the city of St. Louis's history. And I think this is due in part to the fact that they were able to oust the woke district attorney, Kim Gardner, who wasn't prosecuting anyone for anything. Now, not only did murders drop in the city of St. Louis by 21% year over year, which is fantastic, but overall shootings dropped by 24%, and victims of shootings that are juveniles in the city of St. Louis dropped by 50%. Again, same state, they just got rid of the woke prosecutor, hired a new police commissioner, decided to use the police for violence prevention, and the proof in the pudding is in the taste. And luckily, you can actually taste it in St. Louis because you're still alive. You haven't been shot up. Now look, the homicide rate in the city of St. Louis is still incredibly high. I don't want you to get the wrong interpretation from what I'm saying about this, but the point is, they made some big changes. They moved in the correct direction. They got rid of their Soros DA. They started a violence prevention program, which has the police focusing on high-risk offenders, targeting them for specific interventions, and they saw significant drops in what they were aiming to do. Conversely, Kansas City is defunding their police.
$47 million is not actually a lot if you compare it to the full police budget and the full budget of Kansas City. And we're asking for just a percentage of accountability. A percentage of accountability to make sure that we can do what the people have asked us to do. Represent their interests, make sure we're looking out for them, make sure that we're listening to black and brown voices, and make sure that when we look to solutions to violent crime, they're solutions that people in Kansas City, the taxpayers in Kansas City, the citizens of Kansas City, have voted to support.
Their police force is down 20%. And if you look at the year-by-year homicides in the city of Kansas City, it's absolutely disastrous. It was at great all-time lows back in the mid-2010s, and all of a sudden, as police force has reduced, we're seeing giant spikes in homicide. This isn't hard to figure out. You need to have police on the streets. If you continuously hamstring them, if you defund them, if you create a culture that is against them, causing them to leave the police force, then you're going to have major problems. Conversely, if you get rid of these woke, idiotic district attorneys, if you hire some thinking police chiefs, if you actually try some interventions to target the individuals committing the crimes, not trying to arrest poverty, you can end up with positive situations, positive results, even in areas that are so hopeless, like the city of St. Louis, which in previous years had Central American cartel-controlled homicide rates, worse than the entire world level homicide rates, or at least up there, can be reduced, and dramatically so.
$47 million is not actually a lot if you compare it to the full police budget and the full budget of Kansas City.
And by the way, I'm not speculating on defund the police. You can hear it from the boss man in Kansas City himself, where he's talking about pulling $47 million out of the police force. But don't worry, it's not defunding the police. It's just accountability. And this, of course, is what led to the giant spike to record levels of homicides in Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri officials have now filed a lawsuit challenging a new Missouri law dealing with the funding of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department.
And not only did this woke idiot mayor defund the police because it was only $47 million. I've only lost 20% of my officers and I don't have enough people to walk the beat. But when the state of Missouri actually tried to stop him from defunding the police, he filed a lawsuit against the governor so that he could take money away from his police department. It's probably one of the only instances in the entire country I've seen this happen. But yeah, this guy was so intent on defunding the police, he wanted to sue in order to do it. And by the way, if you don't think that this comes from a pro-criminal mindset from the mayor, he's actually fighting with the governor right now over this specific Kansas City Chiefs incident because he's angry that the governor called these people thugs. The people who pulled out guns and open fired at a Super Bowl party where a million people were attending, wounded well over 20 people, killed an innocent woman in a thuggish gang shootout. And the issue that the mayor has is that the governor isn't being nice enough to those people. The mayor isn't coddling them enough. So yeah, not only was this guy so intent on defunding the police, he legitimately sued the state of Missouri so that he could do so when they try to stop him. But now he's defending the criminals in this incident because how dare you? How dare you call these innocent angels who shot up a Super Bowl party, who wounded 20 plus people, killed an innocent woman, thugs? How dare you do that? Be kinder to them. They're babies. They were just trying to feed their starving family. Yeah, so while this story will be out of the news relatively quickly based on the identities of the perpetrators, I will point out that a lot of people are saying, oh, this shows the problem with our gun culture in society. This shows the problem with our system and we need gun control, even though it's illegal for these guys to have pistols. And I know one of them had a rifle in addition to a pistol, but the majority of the shooting was committed by people who are under the age of 18, who already are not legally allowed to own pistols, using pistols. That's what happened right here. But the thing is, regardless of their fraudulent gun control narrative, this does say something about the country. I have been pointing out that it is incumbent upon Republican governors to do something about these woke left-wing Soros-backed district attorneys. And the governor of Missouri put pressure on Kim Gardner to the point where she resigned from her post. And we saw the positive results of that in the city of St. Louis. We saw what happened when we actually confront the problem directly rather than having a district attorney trying to aid and comfort the criminal. Crime trends tend to turn around. But when you do the opposite, when you continue to hemorrhage police officers, when you don't have them on the beat, look at what happens. It's a tale of two cities, the first largest city of Kansas City in Missouri, and the second, St. Louis, and them going in complete opposite directions. But hey, those are just my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below. If you like this video, then show them by leaving a like, subscribe for more content, follow me on my social medias, support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about the Kansas City Chiefs shooting. Till next time.